Is Dukes and Bell guys hanging out here as Day Day's working contacts as there is a coach's clinic going on. And Day Day, the 6 degrees of Day Day, talking to a dude from Southside or down in Macon. And here we go. This is how Day Day is becoming the best dialed in dude. He's pushing Sam Crenshaw for that title when it comes to scholastic sports in the state of Georgia. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on down and join the party, pal. Beautiful day, man. This is like, I'm jealous of the folks sitting out on the balcony. I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, taking the headphones and just swinging it out there, man.
Yeah, it's pretty good today. It was chilly this morning. I was a little surprised. I woke up early to walk the dog. And,
I know. Global warming my ass. Yeah, it's great.
It warmed up quickly. It warmed up quickly, Mike.
No, I'm just saying it's been a very mild spring. You know that's going to change in a minute.
Now,
just,
the scientists will tell you it's both extremes.
Just
right?
To put a bow. I'm not going to Antarctica. I don't care. I put a bow on the story about the Georgia Bulldogs and expectations for Kirby.
Yeah.
Dog Nation posted a story earlier. I got this from Connor Riley. The heading says, it's been months since five-star quarterback Jared Curtis flipped from Georgia to Vanderbilt, but the effects of that decision are still being felt, by Georgia when it comes to the quarterback position. So we're just, you know, chatting about that, and you know, we had Clark Lee on, guys. If you missed the conversation, from Vanderbilt, interesting guy, and had strong opinions about the playoff. And one of the things that, you know, we argue about all the time, and he agreed. It sucks. It's a shame because we always loved. Some don't care about the traditions,
right?
But I mean, the traditions of college football going away and losing some of that, you know, those home and homes and the interconference, things like, you know, Florida State and Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech, et cetera. Because now with the 9-game conference schedule and the playoff, and he agreed with me on the college football playoff committee, no transparency, a moving target, not respecting the SEC strength of schedule, then you might as well not shoot yourself in the foot by going strong out of conference.
I want to counter this because I disagree with one caveat here. If you go to 24... If it is at 24, I think you will see the return of some of those games because who cares? You could get in with four losses.
Right.
So maybe if you're trying to find any positivity of going to 24, because I know you and I are on the same page, 16 is the max before you start to lose out on the regular season. I know you and I are aligned on that.
Right.
If you do go to 24, though, you might get the Ohio State, Texas, and if you lose, who cares? You could still afford three more, maybe four more conference losses and
right.
get in. And so maybe if there that's why Georgia, by the way, that Georgia-Florida State, it's in 2028 for a reason.
I know. I like the traditions.
Yeah.
I do think it separates. Look, we all love football. We're all football fans. It's just what makes it different between the NFL and the college game. You know, like, you don't have to have gone to the school. Look, I lasted a semester and a half in Tallahassee. It's not about being an elitist because you went to the school. I mean, look, nobody went to the University of Miami. You know, all those cholos with the tattoos. I know those guys. What do you think those guys majored in? You know, window tinting, as we like to say. But they're big fans, you know.
And window tinting tougher or easier than basket weaving?
Well, I mean, you got to get it right. The tint, you got to get it right. You got to know the restrictions per state. Can't be, you know,
there's
can't be caught riding dirty out there,
there's
man.
A percentage.
Did I tell you about that? The last, first world problems. Last Corvette I had before the current one, I got it, and it came from Texas, and it had, they called it Texas tint, which was too dark for Georgia. I found out.
Georgia's about 3% the
right.
amount of light or whatever. I don't quote me.
But
on
I got to be honest
statement.
With you. This tent was so dark, I have to like
couldn't
roll down the
it.
Window at night to make sure I could see for merging traffic. And so it was almost too much, man. Then also with that kind of tent, you're rolling probable cause, you know, to most law enforcement.
Right.
You know, all right, man. A couple of things with the Falcons schedule. What stretch Day Day asked today in our show notes of the schedule concerns you the most? May I go first?
Go for it. You got it.
Ravens, Bears, Niners, Bucks. And then the trip to Madrid.
I'd go two more.
I mean, two more.
Bengals and Chiefs.
Right.
I mean, agree with the start.
I just
of that
gave
stretch,
you four, but I mean, you've got a big chunk of our. And that's why, and look, for what it's worth, whoever looks at this and then ranks it says the Falcons' schedule is not the toughest. You play these teams.
Last year's records, Mike.
I know that somebody's always rising or falling.
Yeah.
The Bengals may be good, they may be bad. Burrow may be hurt by the time we play in Spain. But there's a lot of playoff or teams that are on the cusp of the playoffs on our schedule.
Chiefs, without Mahomes last year, third-place team. That's why you're playing them this year. They feel like a third-place team.
I don't think so.
Bengals?
Nope.
Obviously, you're stuck with the Bucks. San Fran, third-place team behind Seahawks. And
that game frustrated me the most of all the games that we lost. The San Fran game where you basically are going toe-to-toe, and then that's on Holbrook. You really can't blame Rob.
Yeah.
We had too many guys on the field, not enough guys on the field.
But it's just –
you know,
the third place nonsense for teams that are good, and the Niners are good, the Chiefs are good, the Lions
right.
are probably going to be pretty good. So I don't buy into this they have an easy schedule nonsense. It's a difficult schedule, Mike, and the stretch that you brought up I think is imperative. And I mentioned this through week 10, but if we're just looking at weeks 5 through 10,
right.
I mean, if you escape 2 and 3, I think you're okay. Anything better than that, you're incredibly pleased. Again, I know this sounds almost defeatist here, Mike. If you can get to the bye week in week 11 at 4-6, I think the season's still in front of you.
Right.
And I know that's not a great record. No one's going to be celebrating 4-6. But if you're 4-6 with a win against the Bucks, the Panthers, Saints, and one other, you got a chance.
Well, we spoke to Brian McFadden earlier in the show, and that, you know, there's a lot of X factor with the Steelers. New coach with Mike McCarthy, presuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to be good to go. But, you know, that's a team which is going to be finding its way, as we are. And look, week one, some teams seem to be ready and some teams are not ready. You see the penalties and the mistakes, and, you know, it's some bad football because, like us, we didn't – in previous regimes, we didn't practice in spring. As far as the preseason games, I should say that's spring training.
Look,
hopefully that changes with Stefanski with our group. We're going to find out.
Well, I do think there's concern there in regards to what you do at quarterback in the preseason if Penix is not ready. Because I don't know if you can at that point then risk Tua.
That's a great point.
And so that's part of it. I'll be honest, though.
But doesn't Tua need that experience because he's learning this offense, too? This is not Mike McDaniel's offense.
I'd be okay with it if Penix is not ready.
Okay.
But they'd have to tell us he's not ready.
But that's why, I mean.
They have to tell us there's no real competition yet and that his return is delayed and that in season, whatever.
But that's why I love what you said earlier. And we're going to get into it at 5 o'clock because we did it at 3. And Abe's got a theory on this. And I think, I got to be honest with you. I like it. You crazy guy. No, Abe's got a feeling about how the way the schedule is set up and how we have these national. We got 3 national games in a row on Thursday, Monday, and Sunday.
You surprised by that?
Just the way the schedule fell, you know. I mean,
hold on now. It's not the way the schedule fell. Like, there are teams that have no nationally televised primetime games.
Right.
They threw us on for a reason.
Well, we got Bijan Robinson. You know, we've got.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
I don't know. Like, the NFL would probably say if you've got a big fantasy player, it doesn't matter, but I think it plays.
I think that's a great point.
Right. I think that's why we're there early in the year and get us there before maybe the record gets sideways.
No, it's right. Good. Yeah.
And then I said on the breakdown of the schedule yesterday, I misspoke. I said Thursday. What I meant to say is they may flex us. We play Tampa. There's no start time on that end date. That's when we get into the games that could play on Saturday or Sunday. And if, you know, us and Tampa are battling for the division.
Yeah, you're thinking about flexing us up.
Right. To maybe Sunday night. Right.
There's no reason that if things go well through week 10 and then you can recover after that, that could be a relevant game. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And so we'll talk more about the quarterback battle. The other thing is the defense. You and I, I've said this earlier, we got all week to catch up as Carl's on vacay with his daughter and family. But the defense, we don't know anything about James Pierce
Jr.
That's
the one, right?
I do think Jalen Walker could step into that breach because we only scratched the surface with a guy who had a lot of soft tissue, your hamstring, groin, as Carl would say, groin injuries that kept him out. I think Jalen could be the guy with the dudes on the one-year deals in the meantime. I know you're not expecting collaboratively, collectively, I'm talking about all those guys.
And it's kind of a domino effect, right? Is someone able to do what Ellis was able to do, which would then allow Jalen Walker to be much more of a pure pass rusher? Or do they need Jalen Walker to be more of a, quote, linebacker than a pass rusher in some of those ways? And so that's what I kind of am looking for is of these fill-in guys, or maybe even Perkins or Harris or whoever it's going to be.
Right.
Are they good enough at their jobs to allow Walker to be a straight pass rush guy?
It's a great question.
Because if you need to involve him more into the linebacking core than the front, then you need Pierce back.
All these young guys, you've got dudes that, you know, who's it, Christian Harris from the came over from the Texans. If he can recapture the fire, you got a bunch of guys that have had some injuries. And, look, I'm excited about Perkins, the kid from LSU.
Yes.
I mean, this guy was going to be all world his first year at with the Tigers. We've talked about it. You know, Brian Kelly could screw up basically winning the lottery, it seems like, down at LSU. But they didn't use him properly. Then he had the knee injuries. Now 2 years removed from an ACL. I forget, the young man from Oklahoma.
Kendall Daniels,
who's a totally fits what Ulbrich likes, octopus arms, rangy, big guy linebacker, like Divine Diablo.
And I know.
Like Divine Diablo. Thank you.
I know there's the thought process on this, but, Mike, what do you get out of Troy Andersen?
Well, I mean,
does he solve anything for you if he's healthy?
Well, like,
I don't know. I don't have an answer, but like, it's possible.
It's when you have played as few games as he has.
I get it.
You know, in the last 3 years, it's a shame because he whets the appetite with the effort against New Orleans, a game where Kirk Cousins, by the way, couldn't do anything. The offense was dead in that game. We had a special teams touchdown and we had a pick six.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, he can give you the spark. But, again, I just think at this stage, I love Braylon Trice, but the realist in me says you can't expect anything from Braylon Trice.
Same thing as Troy Anderson. It's right. The exact same discussion. And that's where I get into this. To this domino effect. If you can get anything out of Trice, does it make it easier for this, that, and that?
Right.
And if you can get anything from Troy Anderson, the linebacking core, it makes it easier for this, and that, specifically Perkins, who you mentioned, and Walker, to just go get the quarterback.
Abe Gordon in for Carl today, guys. A reminder, it's the biggest year ever for soccer in Atlanta. Be sure to join Jason Longshore, that's Longshoe, on Twitter, every Tuesday night for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer Tuesday nights on 92.9 The Game. Also available the next day at the Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. We'll come back live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead on a Friday in Paradise. Got some guy talk for you. The latest in my getting my account stolen on Twitter saga. It is apparently more common than you'd think. I'm amazed. We'll get into some of that. Also, we'll debate the Abe says I'm blowing traffic Armageddon way out of proportion.
A little out of proportion.
And, you know, I will not drive in an autonomous vehicle.
Okay.
And further proof why you shouldn't either. Coming up in Guide Talk next.